Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. At least 11 people are now confirmed dead in Vancouver, Canada, after a man drove a black Audi SUV into a group of people celebrating a Filipino cultural festival last night. Dozens more were injured.
It is impossible to overstate how many lives have been impacted forever by this lone individual.
Interim Vancouver Police Chief Steve Rye says they believe the suspect acted alone and that it was not a terrorist attack. He also says the man they have in custody has a significant history of interactions with the police. Pope Francis has been laid to rest. Funeral ceremonies took place in Vatican City yesterday, where we find papal contributor Father James Martin.
I was especially moved when they took the casket out. For the last time. For me, even in funeral masses of family and friends, that's the most powerful moment. It's a real sense of finality.
Next, the College of Cardinals will meet to begin the process of electing a new pope to lead the Catholic Church. This is ABC News. The field is now set for this Saturday's Kentucky Derby. ABC's Will Clark is at Churchill Downs with more.
The morning line favorite for Kentucky Derby 151 is Journalism. The morning line odds on the horse trained by Michael McCarthy are 3-1. Journalism will launch out of the 8th starting gate when the race goes to post. One of the other big storylines to watch in this field of 20 is two horses trained by Bob Baffert back at the track after a 3-year suspension from the Kentucky Derby and all Churchill Downs properties related to a failed drug test on one of his horses. At Kentucky Derby 151, Will Clark, ABC Sports.
More than 50 million Americans are on alert for severe weather to start the work week. Northeastern Iowa and southeastern Minnesota could see very large hail, severe winds, and multiple strong tornadoes starting on Monday. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Power Boat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Located on the Menominee River, you'll be seated up close so you can witness all of the high-adrenaline drama. The races are free and perfect for the entire family. Racing will be fierce with up to 100 powerboats and 18 heats a day. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the entire day. It's Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races, June 7th and 8th. Free for the whole family. You won't want to miss this awesome event. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page or contact the Marinette Welcome Center at 715-732-4333.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. April is Financial Literacy Awareness Month. Here's Terry D.
Many households are still recovering from the economic impact of the pandemic. Creating a spending plan and identifying priorities is a good first step, advises Todd Christensen with the nonprofit Money Fit Financial. If you are considering buying a car or house or taking a vacation, he notes a budget is about more than dollars and cents.
Whatever it is that motivates you, set a purpose, number one. Number two is not to start adding income. That's usually where people start, but you've got to prioritize expenses. If you don't prioritize them, you will inevitably have to start eliminating expenses anyway, and you'll go with your emotions rather than with the rational part of your brain.
Christensen sees cash, credit cards, and the popular Buy Now, Pay Later apps as convenient tools that consumers often misuse. It is this convenience that prompts human nature to kick in and encourage overspending. He suggests having two checking accounts, one for automatic bill payment, another for fund purchases, and a savings account for long and short-term goals. Christensen supports teaching kids good money management habits before they earn spending cash as teens by mowing lawns, babysitting, or doing chores. If they are not taught how to take care of small amounts of money as early as possible, he cautions, they will be terrible with larger amounts as adults.
That's Terry D. reporting for Public News Service. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A partly sunny sky on tap for your Sunday with highs in the upper 50s. South to southeast winds will be on the increase. Tonight, lows in the mid and upper 40s. Partly cloudy skies with maybe a stray shower. Better chance of storms heading our way Monday. It's 57 at our studios.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the entire draft for the Green Bay Packers and also major things ahead for Congress, including the future of Medicaid. Your calls as well. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to Lean Local. This is the show where we do what we say. We lean into the local community. And that's not to say we're not concerned about what's going on in other parts of our world, Madison and D.C. and the Gaza Strip and Ukraine. But for the next hour, we're going to talk about what's going on here locally. And we pick it by subject matter. And, you know, when you look at Greater Green Bay and why a lot of us live here, and I can even share with you that back when I was mayor, I did some recruiting tapes for some of the hospitals to get doctors to live here. And you know what we talked a lot about? The natural resources, yeah. The fishing, the hunting. You know, I stood there in front of Lambeau Field with a football, and I said, Green Bay is more than football, a lot more. And then it just cut to the water, and then that in really 20 minutes, 25 minutes, you can leave the OR, you can be on the water. So I asked, I went right to the top. I get to do that now. This show's picking up some mojo. Darren Kuhn, he is the boating law administrator for the state of Wisconsin. Eventually I got to get to how you got that job, because I think sure. Every kid, right? I mean, when I asked you how you're doing, you said living the dream. Yeah. I think you were kind of partly serious on that.
I am.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. But I mean, wouldn't you agree that, you know, living here, I mean, we're looking out the window here, Schreiber, you know, $6 billion company, and we're just coming off the draft, which was just a great event here in Green Bay, and we got the Packers, we got great schools, you know, the infrastructure's good, but the natural resources, right?
It's phenomenal. I mean, the resource that the area has with the Fox River,
right?
And then even more so the Bay of Green Bay itself, whether it's recreational boating or hunting or fishing. I mean, arguably, we have some of the best walleye fishing anywhere. I mean, and that you can see in the spring of the year when there's thousands of boats and they're cutting a hole in the ice with a chainsaw so they can get the boat out for open water to get to the main channel. But it the resources here are really phenomenal. And even, you know, non-game resources, the eagles.
Right.
You know, you, when I first moved to Green Bay about 30 years ago, you would see an eagle here or there, and now they're very common.
Yeah,
I mean, the
right.
Eagles are. I mean, we got the one up at the fairgrounds, you know, just outside of Green Bay, with an active nest, and everyone goes and watches it, and Bay Beach, and right there on the water.
I know.
It's the resources here for being a city is really phenomenal, and people respect them here,
and they support it. I mean, the DNR sometimes they. I don't know, sometimes they pick on you guys a little bit, and I'm not
a little bit.
No, I'm just, but we're glad we have you, because you guys are visionary.
Yeah, it's a really nice feeling, because I'll tell you what, on opening day of gun deer season, mm-hmm. we're probably the last person that somebody wants to see. But when we swing into a quick trip or we swing into a Perkins for lunch or something, it's amazing in the Green Bay area how much. Thanks for your service.
Right.
And it's not just the DNR and our conservation wardens, but it's a Green Bay Police and Brown County Sheriff. I mean, people respect the job that we're doing, because they know that we're not out there trying to cause problems for people. We're trying to keep people safe and keep the public, keep the, in our area, you know, with the natural resources safe so that it's there for generations to come. I mean, I want my grandkids that I don't have yet to come out and be able to fish walleyes on the Fox River.
Yeah.
When you look at the DNR, now you've transitioned into a more specific. Tell me a little bit about your career path.
Okay. So in 1998, I got hired by the DNR and was assigned to come to Green Bay. I grew up in Marquette County, Wisconsin, which is south central Wisconsin. One stop late in the county when I left Marquette County, and still only one stop late in the county to this day.
Progress.
Very rural, no real industry, just a lot of fields and woods. And when they said, you're going to Green Bay, I'm thinking there's no way this country boy is going to stay here. And 30 years later, I'm still in Green Bay.
Wow.
Was assigned to our Green Bay enforcement team out of the Green Bay office, which at that time was off of North Military. Worked my way through that. I did a short stint in Kewaunee County as the conservation warden in Kewaunee County. And honestly, I got a little bored. You know, there was a lot, an urban game warden, there's a lot of things that happen. You know, you've got all the hunting and fishing and boating and all that stuff, but there's a lot of environmental stuff that happens in a city that doesn't happen in your country areas. And I got bored in Kewaunee County. And then I came back probably, what was that, about 2010. I came back to Green Bay on our marine enforcement team, where my job was literally to go out and patrol the waters of the Fox River and Green Bay up to about Oconal on one side and up to Door County on the other. And that was my job, was going out on the water. And
when you say patrol the waters, though, is that there's a lot that happens in the water.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's that's what I want to say. There's the shoreline. Mm-hmm. There's boaters. Yep. There's the fish habitat. What are you in charge of when you say patrol the water?
For our marine team, and since my promotions, they're still doing the same thing I did 15 years ago. But commercial fishing is a big part, where Green Bay is the only place in the state of Wisconsin that you can commercial fish yellow perch. So when you're having a fresh perch fish fry, if you want to continue to have that for generations, they're a pretty regulated industry. And that's part of our job of our marine unit wardens, is to ensure that they're not taking too many. The sport fishery, you know, phenomenal muskies, phenomenal walleyes, making sure that they're keeping what they're supposed to be keeping when they're supposed to be keeping it. The recreational boating is all part of our job, making sure that they're staying safe, not operating where they're not supposed to be, and in a manner that they're not supposed to be. Waterfall hunting, the duck hunting. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the history of the Green Bay area, duck hunting goes way back to settler days, and it's major history in the waterfall community of waterfall hunting on Green Bay. So that's a big part of it in the fall, and ice fishing. I mean, whitefish now, not to mention the environmental, the shoreline damage and
I don't want to get into the specifics, but you probably get into a few squabbles.
A little bit.
I mean, the duck hunting, if you're on the water, you're on the shoreline. Yep. I mean, they used to call me.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure they did.
Then I would call you.
Yeah.
But there's just, that's where people take that so serious.
Yes.
I sometimes when I think about you guys, I think of those guys that, it was a tournament and they like put weight in the fish or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Those guys did time, I think.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot that you can go to jail for in the DNR world, but there definitely are some cases where it's called for. And luckily, our prosecutors, our judges are seeing some of the blatancy.
Right.
You know, it's not about sending someone to jail for trying to feed the family. It's sending someone to jail for taking the natural resources just for the joy of it, just for the thrill of
right.
You know, of we're just going to shoot this and leave it lay, or we're just going to cheat the system, where it's ultimately theft. You know, our natural resources are held for the people of the state of Wisconsin. And when you start playing those games, you're stealing that opportunity from the people of Wisconsin and the people that visit Wisconsin.
The people who utilize the waterways, the hunting, the fishing, you know, there's some people that don't. I mean, but I think a lot of people do, though. Are they educated? Do they learn from their dad and their grandpa, or do you think we as the state, you know, like to drive, you have to have a driver's license, right? Sure. You got to go to school when you're 16. And do you think what's your opinion as a director?
So we have a little of both. We do have a boater education course. So by state law, anyone born after January 1st, 1989 is required to take a boater education course. You can do it online. We have interactive courses. We still have some in-person courses that, one of our lead instructor corps, the U.S. Power Squadron, as well as the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, and then some volunteer safety instructors that mm-hmm. will do in-person courses. And that's general boating, boating 101. You know, this is what's going to keep you safe. It's not going to make you an expert boater. But I do think from being around the Green Bay boating community for nearly 30 years, a lot of it is handed down. People are educated. People do respect Green Bay as being part of the Great Lakes. And that they have learned, some of them the hard way, but others just through experience and family handing it down that this is a body of water to be respected, that you don't want to mess with Mother Nature, and you definitely don't want to mess with the Great Lakes.
Okay, so I just want to hear, I want to drill down just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you're okay with that? Do you think they're being handed down that respect and the education they need, or do you think that we should tighten up the boater safety classes?
I think our boater safety classes serve the purpose that they're meant to serve. It teaches you, don't tie up in a lock, and some boater etiquette and some safety rules. Basically, if you follow these, you'll stay safe on the waterway. As far as boater ethics, that's a whole nother question. I mean, I don't think our boater safety class was ever really designed to teach ethics. That I'm hoping is passed down.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of our job from the law enforcement perspective is if we see somebody making a mistake out there or doing something wrong that's not causing maybe a safety concern, of bringing them up to snuff. Let's do some education.
Right.
We do a lot of things at the boat landings. We do a lot of different PR through media and whatnot let's do this, let's do that. And I honestly think 99% of our boaters are actually doing it right.
When we come back, as mayor, I was always concerned about drunk driving.
Mm-hmm.
And we've lost some just unbelievable innocent lives through that. And young kids, all life is valuable. But it really, really hurts when it's a young kid.
Sure.
I mean, especially, 16, 17, 18, 19. Let's talk about alcohol in the water, because it's, that's a powerful piece of equipment too, right? Just like a car. I want to talk about that. And then I want to talk a little bit more about some advice you have for that passing down from generation. I think that's really important, because I think that's where I think a lot of kids learn about hunting, fishing, and boating, is through their dads or their moms. So we're going to be right back. We are here with Mr. Kuhn, who is the boating law administrator here for the state of Wisconsin. We'll be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On April 22nd, in the Wisconsin State Senate, something happened that you don't see too often. A high-profile bill passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. The Republican-controlled chamber voted 32-1 to extend Medicaid coverage for new moms from 60 days to 12 months. Wisconsin is one of only two U.S. states that has not already extended this critical postpartum coverage. So with that kind of support, you'd expect the bill to pass, right? Well, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has repeatedly blocked this legislation from coming up for a vote. Several Republican state representatives have been speaking out on this, urging Voss to change his tune, but he has not yet budged. It's time for Voss to end this charade and allow this bill to come up for a vote. If he's opposed, he can still vote against it. But one person should not block a bill that has already been supported by the majority of his own party. Let the people vote, Mr. Speaker.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area. From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Jim Schmidt, we are talking about something local here that is just a, we're talking earlier with the lieutenant about how blessed we are to have this great natural resource here, the waterways. And Lieutenant Darren Kuhn is the boating law administrator here for the state of Wisconsin. And during the break, we're talking about how important it is that people not only respect the water, but really understand the ethics of it, if that's the right word, and really how fortunate we are. And I was asking him, how do people learn that? Is it through the textbook, or is it through your dad or your mom or your friends that teach you that? And he's like, well, it's a little bit of both. But what advice would you have if someone wants to get into fishing, into boating? Because it is a great, great recreation, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say this, you know, it's a great pastime. You know, it's a big sport in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, a little known fact is, as far as boating goes and registered boats in the country, Wisconsin is between third and fifth in the country on number of registered boats. So it's huge in the entire state.
Wow.
So you start thinking about the United States, and you got, you know, all the coastal states along the ocean, Florida, California, Texas, monstrous states. But yet Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Michigan are 3, 4, and 5 every year. And that's a lot because of recreational boating, but also because so many people are use boats for fishing. But yeah, you know, getting into it, you learn from your parents, you learn from doing it. You know, I guess before I went and spent the money on a boat to say, okay, here we go, I might go with a buddy. You know,
right,
the best friend a guy can have is the guy that owns the boat. And learn and see what's going on out there, because there are definitely rules and regulations relating to boating. But you really learn more from actually getting out on the water and seeing. And you can see when somebody cuts another boat off, it's like, you know, what the heck, man?
Right.
You know, and you can see that stuff. And it's so prevalent that so many of our boaters are respectful. So many of the people on the water, you go by and you get a wave, no matter who you are. And maybe that's just a Midwest nice thing, but
yeah,
it's true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and boating is very unique that way. It's not so much you get away from somebody in the car, but in the boat, everyone's waving. And just pay attention to what people see. And use some common sense. There's a lot of boating that just says it's common sense.
What's your biggest concern out on the water? Because I've traveled with you guys a little bit, with the Coast Guard a little bit more. Is it the reckless? Is it alcohol? Is it not having the right equipment? Is it the lighting? What's the concern that you have as a DNR guy?
All of those are concerns, but the two biggest ones are the alcohol and the life jackets. I mean, year after year after year, our number one citation issued, or so our number one ticket that people get for doing something wrong, is not having enough life jackets. It's not even a matter of, you know, wearing them, because that's not a state rule. That's, you know, there is a federal rule for children, but as far as state law, they just have to have one wearable type life jacket for each person on the boat. And that's our number one citation. Yet that's our number one cause of boating fatalities is drowning. And I mean, we're talking 400 plus citations a year on people not having enough life jackets. And that's just crazy to me, because it's not a new law. I mean, it's very common sense. There's loaner life jacket stations all over the place where if you don't have enough, you can borrow one and give it back when you're done. But yet that's the number one boating citation is life jackets.
And my guess is a life jacket is cheaper than a citation.
Oh, considerably.
Yeah.
And even more so, it's a lot cheaper than a funeral.
Well,
I mean, you look at it that way,
yeah, well,
but the alcohol is a big thing. I mean, alcohol on the water, it affects people differently than it does. You know, the environmental concerns with the wind and the heat and the sun and the waves, it all makes that alcohol work differently in your body. So what you may feel is a safe limit on dry ground probably is not a safe limit when you're out on the water all day.
So is it the same test? Well, it can't be the same test, but it's a breathalyzer. Do you blow into it?
I mean,
you don't make them walk a straight line on a boat.
We've got some other tests that we do from a seated perspective that somebody's not going to accidentally fall overboard. But yeah, you walk a line on the boat, you're going overboard. if you can walk the line, you're good. Yeah, but
I guess.
But otherwise, from that perspective, once we get them back to shore, then yeah, it's very similar to what you'd experience on the road. You know, the hospital, blood tests generally.
Yeah.
Either get released to a responsible party, depending, or get taken in and, you know, have to spend the night. But
what a way to ruin an awesome day.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And a lot of times, you know, a lot of it is a mistake. I mean, we see a lot of first offense and very few second and subsequent offenses. But what we do see a lot of are people with multiple offenses in the car taking it out onto the boat. So, I mean, there were some local studies that have been done on, comparing data from traffic OWI arrests to boating OWI arrests. And it was pretty amazing how many people had prior in the car.
In the vehicle.
Yep.
And took it over to the boat.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. That life jacket thing, I mean, I don't know what to say about that, right?
Right.
Neither do you, and you've been at this thing for 20-some years, yep. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's always our message is life jackets, life jackets, life jackets, and we put it out there in all different forms, and I don't know.
Citations and then licensing, right, fishing, right?
Sure.
You clip these guys for that, too.
Sure.
But that, do veterans, somebody asked me, I told them you're going to be on the show, and they said, do Purple Heart veteran guys get... Okay.
Yep.
I said, I'll ask him that. Yep. So I'm asking you on air. I said, I'll ask him that during the break, but I forgot to ask you.
Active duty military get a discount.
Okay. That's cool. Thanks for doing that.
Veterans get a discount, and then Purple Heart, they definitely have earned it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, a friend of us was Purple Heart. Ask him that. I said, okay. So I just did. Well, that's great that you do that. And so what do you see as the future when it comes to the whole area here for fishing? I know perch kind of took a little bit of and that was not good. People are very concerned, but is that back? You talked about the eagles earlier. You talked about the walleye.
Yep.
Do you think from an environmental standpoint, we're doing the right thing here as residents and businesses?
Yeah, we're doing good. I mean, the businesses are very good, you know, along the river about, you know, keeping their effluents out of the river. You know, we just had the big cleanup on the Fox.
Which is great. It's expensive, but the right thing to do.
100% the right thing to do.
Yep.
And I would argue that in the relatively short term, you know, your levels of PCBs are going to, they're practically gone.
Right.
Other stuff you'll see, but I think we're on the right track.
You think we're doing it right?
I think we're doing
it right. We're so lucky to have you, you know, running this whole boating law administrator here in the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, I'd like to get you back because I think this is something that is a big, big part of our community.
Sure.
I don't think we maybe talk about it as much and especially on the safety thing, but things that we can do from an environmental standpoint and from a safety standpoint. So, yeah, 100%. Thanks for what you're doing, Lieutenant. I think this is great. And we got a great summer coming up here, and we want to be safe. And really, we're very fortunate to live where we do here, like you said.
Yep.
So, all right. All right, well, thanks for listening. We're going to be back with the Auxiliary Coast Guard. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dabusky. At least 11 people are now confirmed dead in Vancouver, Canada, after a man drove a black Audi SUV into a group of people celebrating a Filipino cultural festival last night. Dozens more were injured.
It is impossible to overstate how many lives have been impacted forever by this lone individual.
Interim Vancouver Police Chief Steve Rye says they believe the suspect acted alone and that it was not a terrorist attack. He also says the man they have in custody has a significant history of interactions with the police.
Pope Francis has been laid to rest. Funeral ceremonies took place in Vatican City yesterday, where we find papal contributor Father James Martin.
I was especially moved when they took the casket out for the last time. For me, even in funeral masses of family and friends, that's the most powerful moment. It's a real sense of finality.
Next, the College of Cardinals will meet to begin the process of electing a new pope to lead the Catholic Church. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The NFL Draft, a huge success. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NFL Draft ended last night here in Green Bay. Over 600,000 fans attending during the three-day event. That's only second to the draft held in Nashville back in 2019. TV ratings also up 11% over last year's numbers. As for the Packers, they drafted eight new players, four on offense, four on defense. I asked Packers GM Brian Gutekunst, was he hoping to add more draft picks to the roster?
I would have loved to acquire more picks, whether that was this year or next year. And we really didn't accomplish that, but feel really good about those guys. And then some of the guys that we're signing right now, I feel pretty good about too.
NBA Game 4, the Bucks and the Pacers tonight in Milwaukee. The Pacers lead that series 2-1. Baseball, the Brewers lost their fourth in a row, 6-5 in St. Louis yesterday.
We all know that we need to clean it up, but in the big leagues you have to do that. You know, you can't keep making mistakes and just get it corrected and don't let it linger.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A partly sunny sky on tap for your Sunday with highs in the upper 50s. South to southeast winds will be on the increase. Tonight, lows in the mid and upper 40s. Partly cloudy skies with maybe a stray shower. Better chance of storms heading our way Monday. It's 57 at our studios.
April is Global Volunteer Month. Wisconsin's volunteers are transforming our communities every day through their acts of service. Wondering how you can give back? Find the perfect volunteer opportunities at volunteerwisconsin.org or contact your local United Way or Volunteer Center. On volunteerwisconsin.org, you can filter opportunities by location, organization, cause, accessibility, and more to find your best fit. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Ready. The draft is done and our top craft pick votes are in. We narrowed it down to 10 top contenders, and after hundreds of votes, the winners have been crowned. Congratulations to Old Station 31 Spirits in Dale, the winner of the Mino and the Mayor Top Craft Pick promotion. Plus, just for voting, Rhonda Schrader walks away with $250 in gift cards from our participating sponsors. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Picks, drafting Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
Civic Media.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, welcome back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, and we are talking water safety. Again, I want to thank DNR Warden Darren Kuhn for talking about really the boat safety, what happens on our waterways here in Green Bay. And just want to thank him for the advice that he gave. And now we're talking to the water expert when it comes to, like, pool safety. And I've known Ann Miller for some time. And before we get into this, I just want to thank you. We have sponsors with this show. And Pella Windows and Doors, who you live in Astor Park, right?
I do.
All
yes.
right. I mean, that's where you want to go, no matter where you live in the city of Green Bay, though. But Pella's the best. They've obviously done. I've worked with these guys for 20 years, and they come out to your house, which is great. They have their laptop, and they just show you so many different varieties of doors and windows. And what's nice about Astor Park is some of our houses are older.
Yeah.
I mean, really 115 years old. And then even with the newer homes, we're doing a project over at the new community shelter, and they were out there, and just competitive pricing. But it's the quality that we're after with them. And they do everything like I said, the different designs, the different panes of windows that we have there. And so just give them a call. Pella, that's such a good community. Like Nicolet Bank, which is another one of our sponsors here. They really help out the community of Green Bay. So, again, it's just Pella.com. You can just go online, set up an appointment. They'll come out, help you out with whatever you need. And their phone number, of course, 920-435-3791. Pella Windows and Doors here in Green Bay, a great company, a great community company here in Green Bay. And I want to thank them for helping us out here on Lean Local. So, yes, water safety. Ann Miller, who is the recreation manager at the city of Green Bay. She's been with the city of Green Bay for some time. We work together. Nothing worse, and you have kids, than losing a child. But even worse than worse is if it was preventable.
Correct.
And then you read these statistics where drownings can be 300-400 a year.
Mm-hmm.
We have three, just in our community here, three major aquatic centers.
Correct, yes.
And how do you manage that? We haven't had a death, have we?
No.
I remember my daughter coming home. You taught all my kids to be lifeguards.
Yep,
my kids
sure
are
did.
Good swimmers, but... And I know Anna one time saved a kid, and mm-hmm. she was just, that was like a big, big deal for her.
Absolutely. Yes.
Tell me what parents, what can we do? I mean, how do you do it? Because you must have, it's less than, how many kids, thousands of kids come through your pools?
Thousands of kids. And I mean, we can get up to 1,000 kids a day if it's a nice, hot, sunny day in the summer, which we always hope for. So obviously all of our facilities are lifeguarded. And that's the wonderful thing about going to a community pool, that you do have that safety net of a lifeguarded pool. However, what we like to inform and educate the public is that the lifeguards aren't the only ones that need to keep our kids and our families safe. It comes to parents first and foremost. You are the first line of defense in keeping those kids safe in and around the pool. The lifeguards are there, of course, to respond in an emergency or something happens. The lifeguards are there and they're trained. However, we are asking that parents stay with their kids within arm's reach at all times, not to be sitting on the pool deck with a book or even watching your kids from far away. We want you in the pool within an arm's reach of any non or weak swimmer.
And I was talking to her about that, and that's the way it happened. The parents mm-hmm. weren't paying attention.
Correct.
This kid just wandered off into the deep end.
Correct.
Of course.
Kids are quick.
And kids are quick, and even the shallow end's a deep end to a little kid.
Absolutely. A child can be in danger in just a few inches of water. I mean, I laugh just bathing my kids. I'm next to the bathtub at all times, and my kids are 5 and 6. You just have to be aware of the dangers of water. Now, is the water fun? And do we want everybody to enjoy our pools and swim? Absolutely. Just need to understand the importance of being near your kids at all times.
So everyone, I don't even have to ask you, I'm going to ask you anyway, but you think everyone should learn how to swim?
Well, I do. At least how to keep yourself safe. I don't think everybody needs to learn to be able to swim laps and, compete in swim meets or anything of that nature, but how to keep yourself safe in the water. Learn to float, learn how to kick your legs, be comfortable in the water. And that is something that everyone is able to do. There are so many different resources to learn those skills. If you're an adult and you now have kids where you're going to start bringing them to the pool often, get yourself in swim lessons. You can do private lessons. You can, there are lots of different ways and avenues to do that. but be get to the point where you're comfortable.
So the city, you guys offer lessons?
We do, yes.
Isn't that going on now?
Nope. We only offer currently swim lessons during the summer. However, registration is open
that's
now.
That's what I meant. Yep, registration's absolutely. Open now. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what I meant. And you'll even, so I think the registration, at least when I was there, was city and then non-city. You take?
Correct. Okay. Yep. So whether you're resident or non-resident within the city limits of Green Bay, we offer swim lessons. We offer group lessons. We offer private lessons. Really, for anyone looking to learn to swim, we have something for
and
you.
What age do you recommend these kids take swim lessons?
We do parent-child classes, so bring your infant or toddler in the pool. Get them acclimated. Get them comfortable in the water, because that is a lovely progression if they've always known to be in the water or they understand it. But ultimately, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old is really when you should get your kids some swim lessons.
You know, I just want to back up to when they're are little, before they walk, I took my kids to swim lessons. Mm-hmm. I think it was through the Y.
Sure.
And you mm-hmm. just bring them in there, and I was the only guy in there, all these women and me. That was like 30 years ago. I was chilling. I had my own company at that time. I could do that. But it's a good bonding thing, too, the doctor
told me. Absolutely.
So, when people call you and they're like, I mean, you, again, here we're with Ann Miller, who is the recreation director for the city of Green Bay and really focused on the aquatic part of our city, right?
Right.
I mean, that people, if they look at you, even though you run
other things, sure.
Yeah, you're the aquatic lady.
Absolutely. So, yes. Yeah.
Do you recommend people call you? Do you know what's going on at the Y, Boys and Girls Club?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and there are, of course, we have a great swim lesson program. But there are so many different avenues and there's different programs out there. Find the one that fits.
Yeah.
Whether it's through the Y, through it's another park and rec. It's so important. Go where what fits your schedule, what fits your financial needs. Find a program and lean into that and teach those kids how to be safe in and around the water.
Like how much are lessons for a 3-year-old?
So our lessons range depending, our group lessons are $25 for residents, and we have our private lessons that are up towards $50. I mean, so they're very reasonable, but those private lessons are one-on-one so that you can get them in and out in four sessions.
So, okay, let's go to the $25 group lesson. Mm-hmm. So $25, my kid won't be afraid of the water after $25? Is that?
Well, hopefully. It depends on...
Like, is that one lesson or is that like...
That is eight different classes. That's eight classes.
Oh, that's a good deal.
So we have different session structures, but it's eight classes ultimately when it's said and done. So right. Depending on what level your child is at, the goal is to get them comfortable in the water and then ultimately teach them skills.
Why are there so many drownings in the United States with kids? And that... I read something where that's the number one.
It is, yes.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, so we're not watching our kids. That's ultimately what it is. We're not in the water. We're not within that arm's reach. And I cannot stress that enough, that you could be sitting on the pool deck thinking that you're watching, but we all know we get distracted by life, by our phones, by whatever's happening around you. You need to be in the water and be able to just put your arm out and grab your kid if they lose their footing, if they go underwater, don't come back up. You need to be right there. The parent should be the first person to respond in an emergency, not the lifeguard.
And it does say, you know, the new data shows that children drowned. And it does say the number one thing is lack of lifeguard on duty. But mm-hmm. I mean, it's still the number one, two thing is that the lack of supervision of young children,
correct.
Which really is the parents' responsibility. I would totally
correct.
Agree with that.
Correct. Right. Yep.
And that can just really tarnish a hotel, mm-hmm. One of our pools, which still that hasn't happened. I'll give you a lot of credit, but you really train those lifeguards at our place.
We do. We do. And it's hard. I mean, we're training teenagers to save lives. Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting task.
Well, I just remember how stressed out they would be because.
Sure.
For our listeners out there, I mean, you really train them and you got the whole go down and get the weight mm-hmm. and all that. I mean, I remember those training exercises, but They'll just be, it'll be a nice day and they're looking around and then you'll just throw that red bag in there and they got to stand up and jump in. And
we're doing drills while we're open so the public can see that our lifeguards are always, vigilant and scanning. Ultimately, that's what we want to make sure our guards are doing. You're always watching because again, of course we're asking for parents to be that number one line of defense, but our lifeguards are ready to respond.
And it's not like our pools are just pools. I mean, you have nachos, you have other stuff
we do.
To
yes.
do there. And that's,
yes.
not that that's a distraction, but it can be. I'm just going to go run and get some nachos. Just
correct.
Stay there.
Correct.
Kids don't stay there.
They don't stay there. Or they don't know what there means. Or
right. yeah.
they don't know that it's going to get deep in
right.
two steps.
Yeah.
So.
When it comes to the, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about the learning to be a lifeguard. I think that's great what the city does and what a, not a career, but what a side hustle that can be.
Sure.
You know, I mean, my kids actually, when they went to college, they did some lifeguarding too. And then there's, of course, in the winter, there's Tundra Lodge and stuff too. But I want to get back to the lesson thing, this standing in the water with a bunch of other people floating your kid around. You would advise, I mean, I thought that was kind of cool. And not that she remembers that because she was only, what, six
sure.
months old or something like that. But, I mean, she's a really, really good swimmer.
Yeah, it's great. And, again, it lays that foundation for kids. I mean, whether they remember it or not, you're teaching them to be comfortable in the water. And you're building that foundation. Of course, it's a great bonding time for you and kiddo. But you are laying that foundation of being a lifelong, whether it's a swimmer or being safe in the water, starting them early is great.
And then why private lessons over group lessons?
That is just personal preference. Private lessons are great because you can get a lot more done quickly. Group lessons have that socialization component where you can, it's great for kids to learn how to listen and.
So we've been spending a lot of time on kids, 4, 5, 6, 10. But there's adults that can't swim.
Absolutely.
Like I work with this guy in the morning from 6 to 9 every morning. And he's 65. He's been complaining, I don't know, probably since he was 6. Too late to learn?
Never. It's never too late to learn. For adults who have that desire to want to learn to swim, I would highly recommend private swim lessons because then we can just take a look at what level of comfort you have and
past his knees, he gets very nervous. So I just
a private lesson is going to be more comfortable, and we can really tap into what the strengths are and where the weaknesses lie, and we can combat that. Again, it's just it's getting to a level of being safe. If there were a boating accident, if you fall into a pool,
you panic,
and how do you not panic?
Right,
and that would be our goal.
So in 8 lessons, I might buy this for him for his birthday. In 8 lessons, can he swim after 8 lessons, you think?
Possibly. We'll do our best.
But he's not going to drown.
No.
Give that a little thought. I just think that's great. I know a friend of mine who, you know him, but he wanted to run a decathlon. What's that?
A triathlon.
And he couldn't swim. He's a runner, biker, really, really good shape. And he went and took private lessons, learned how to swim, and he passed the whole thing.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that was great. It's just a great example. But he didn't want anybody to know. I wish he would have, because he's a good example for people like Mino, you know? I mean, the guy that I work with in the morning. Okay, all right. Ann Miller, Recreation Director at the City of Green Bay. We're talking about water safety in this episode, but really specifically pools and spas. We're going to be right back. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, Gina, did you hear about the draft?
Wayne, there's no draft at Pella.
There's definitely a draft, right, Wilby?
Yeah, everybody's talking about it.
Pella windows are constructed of the highest quality. No drafts.
But Pella should be everyone's number one pick because right now at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, get no interest financing options or free glass upgrades.
So where is the draft?
Coon. Visit PellaWI.com today.
Certain restrictions apply in Sport 30, 2025.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Sign up today at WGBW.FM/newsletter.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, welcome back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We're talking with Ann Miller here, who is the recreation director at the City of Green Bay. Talking about water safety this show, and we obviously in the first show talked about water safety on lakes and rivers here in Green Bay, boat safety, and this portion of the show we're talking about more safety in hotels and spas. And before we get into this next portion, I just want to thank again, can't do these shows without sponsors. Of course, we have Pella Windows and Doors and Nicolet Bank, which is another great company here in Green Bay. We're so fortunate to have companies that, you know, offer great products. They've grown, they take good care of their employees, but they also give a lot back to our community. And both those companies, you know, Nicolet, City Deck, they do a lot of things in the community. I think they sponsored some of the things that we just finished up with the NFL draft, and just great to have those companies here in Green Bay, and I appreciate them sponsoring Lean Local. And when we left, we were talking about the parental watching the kids is the right. biggest thing. And I talked about a little bit hotels, and hotels don't have lifeguards anymore.
Correct. They do not. Typically, they do not.
Yeah, never seen there. Again, parents. But something that they do have a lot of is these jacuzzis and spas. Like, yeah. Thoughts on those? I mean, those are dangerous too, right?
Absolutely. So I mean, any body of water, whether it is a pool, a hot tub, a lake, parents need to be in with their kids within arm's reach. And also, you know, and I haven't even talked about life jackets and how important life jackets are as well. Don't take that life jacket off just because there's a bench in a hot tub. Keep that on. That is still a pool of water where dangerous things can happen. So ultimately, whatever type of water you are in, if you have a weaker non-swimmer, they should be in a personal flotation device, a U.S. Coast Guard approved one, and your parents just need to be within arm's reach at all times.
Okay, I want to transition to older kids. So high school kids, they don't know how to swim. High schools have pools, don't they, here?
A few of them do, yes.
Mm-hmm. And is that mandatory or is that just an elective?
Typically, if there is a pool at a school, their Phi Ed classes will take them and have a swimming unit of some sort.
Let's talk about what an opportunity that is for the student, but I can speak more as a parent. The jobs that are there. I mean, my kids all work for you. I mean, you're outside.
It's a great summer job.
It is. It's a great summer job. And it can lead to things. And you need lifeguards, too. I mean, it's not the most competitive job in the world.
It's not. It used to be.
Yes.
It's not as much anymore. And we're trying to bring that back. But being a lifeguard is such a wonderful summer job for so many reasons. Obviously, like you had mentioned, you get to be outside. Our summers are short in Wisconsin. It's nice to be able to enjoy the weather when we have it. You're giving back to your community. You're providing such a wonderful and needed service to the community that you live in. So being a lifeguard is great. Also, I mean, it's a wonderful job to have on a college application, on a resume. Everybody knows what a lifeguard does and the responsibility that comes with it. And showing that you're a lifeguard shows that you have a responsibility. You are staying in great physical shape. We require all of our lifeguards to swim every week. You are trained in CPR, first aid, on how to use an AED. I mean, these are all just good life skills to have. Yes, it's a great summer job. It usually pays pretty well.
Yeah, you guys pay pretty well.
Yeah, we do. We're definitely have competitive pay. It's an active job. yet also not. I mean, some days you're just sitting there.
Right.
If it's a slow, rainy day, yeah, it's not going to be as active. But those hot, busy days, they're fun. And there's a lot of action. There's a lot going on. And it's just a great job for a teenager to have, but also anyone who is looking for extra money, whether you are a stay-at-home mom or you're retired.
Right. It doesn't have to be a teenager.
So, right. And we do all of the training for free. If you apply and work for us, we will train you for $0.
And what I liked about the kids, again, high school kids, is that, you know, they're a high school, and the city hired kids from all high schools.
Correct.
And it was good for them to meet people from Preble and Southwest. And
yes.
The other thing I liked about what you guys did at the Parks Department was you had like parties for them. Alcohol, but like right. Country Western and just outings for them. And I think that was really good for them to meet other kids than this, you know, just Notre Dame kids.
And that is one of the benefits that I'm always talking about, that it's not just a summer job. There's this really cool social component that comes with the job. You are meeting kids from other schools. We do put a huge focus on staff bonding and weekly outings. And then, you know, we'll do staff swims and potlucks. And ultimately, that just makes for a better team. And obviously, a lifeguard team is very important, and we need to be able to communicate and respect one another. So we put the time and effort to allow for that to happen, which, you know, I was a lifeguard for the City of Green Bay Pools when I was in high school. Some of my best friends today I met as a lifeguard back in the day.
No, I mean, actually, one of my kids was actually, they became such good friends. She was in someone else's wedding. And it was all through the lifeguard thing. They wouldn't have known each other because they were different schools and quite honestly, different neighborhoods. I think that's great that the city continues that focus. And,
absolutely.
But let's not, I don't want to discount I want to talk about adults too. The job's open to adults.
Absolutely it is. Yes. So anyone looking in, this could be a great second job. You can work on an as needed basis. Like I said, we train you. If you're a decent swimmer, you don't have to be a great swimmer. You need to be a decent swimmer.
Right.
We'll get you trained, and you can pick up hours and kind of make your own schedule. So anyone who's looking for that really flexible job where you can earn a few extra bucks, because nothing's cheap these days. If you bought eggs recently, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's a great job. And like I said, we train you. So there are, we try to keep those obstacles to a minimum.
I think that's great. And then I can't leave without people who I don't know how to swim. And I think some people, when they get past, I don't know, pick an age, 30, 35, I think they're kind of saying, I'll never know how to swim.
That's not true.
I know it's not, but how do we, I don't know. I'm trying to get that across to some people, especially the guy I work with every morning, you know? I mean,
it's not too late. And
are there a lot of people that go back to swimming?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I think that's important. We got to get that out more.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we, all of us who are in the aquatic director role, have to do a better job of letting people know it's open to anyone.
I think that's great what you're doing here in Green Bay. And I'm so glad you took the job. Yeah. I'm glad you're the director there.
Thanks.
You know, it's important. It's important that kids are safe, that we teach them how to swim, and that their parents are responsible, and that we have three great aquatic facilities here in Green Bay. And thanks for being the director. I think,
thanks
opportunities
for
kids. You bet. All right. This is, again, Ann Miller, who is with the City Green Bay of Parks Department, focusing on the aquatic area. Thank you again, Ann. This has been Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me in the guest host seat. We dig into Judge Hannah Dugan's arrest. What is going on here?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Feeling better is about feeling all kinds of things. You want to feel healthy, sure. But you also want to feel heard and understood, valued, even, well, loved. That's what we want, too. We're Amplify Health, and we think the best way to care for someone is to care about them. That's why all our treatments include a little empathy. Welcome to healthcare that's all about caring. Welcome to Amplify Health by Belen. A little empathy changes everything.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. The community of Vancouver is reeling after a man drove a car into a crowded street festival last night, killing at least 11 people and injuring dozens more. Dale Salip was attending the festival with friends.
I heard, you know, the car was like revving up. And then until I heard, or we heard, like a loud noise, like a loud bang.
Police say they have the suspect in custody. President Trump is approaching his 100th day in office. A new ABC News Washington Post Ipsos poll finds the president's job approval rating at 39%.
That's the lowest 100 days approval rating of any president in the past 80 years. And on the issue that largely put him in the White House, 53% say the economy has gotten worse since Trump took office, and 72% say it's very or somewhat likely that his economic policies will cause a recession.
ABC's Martha Raddatz. This is ABC News. This week, the FBI.